This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, salatu wassalamu ala rasulillah, ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala, thumma I'm about to proceed. So before I start, because, you know, everything is new today and I, you know, forgot to say something. At the end of the station of Al-Murad, I wanted to say that, so what should we do then? I mean, if this is the station of being sought by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you're not the seeker, what should you do? How do you be al-murad? Every station that we went through before, there are certain things that you need to do to reach that station, or basically to be established, tamakkun, in that station, to have tamakkun or to be established in that station. But what do you do about this station, this particular one, al-murad, the one that's being sought, if you're not the seeker, if you're the one that's being sought? I think the best hadith to share about this is where the Prophet ﷺ, and it was reported by Abi Nu'aym in Al-Hilya, by Hassan Isnad, where the Prophet ﷺ said, فَعَلُوا الْخَيْرَ دَهْرَكُمْ وَتَعَرَّضُوا لِنَفَحَاتِ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ فَإِنَّ لِلَّهِ نَفَحَاتٍ مِّن رَحْمَتِهِ يُصِيبُ بِهَا مَن يَشَاءُ مِّن عِبَادِهِ فَعَلُوا الْخَيْرَ دَهْرَكُمْ. Do good your entire lives. Do good. You know, seek the good. Do good your entire lives. وَتَعَرَّدُوا لِنَفَحَاتِ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ. And expose yourselves to the blossoms, the breeze of Allah's mercy, or the blossoms of Allah's mercy. فَإِنَّ لِلَّهِ نَفَحَاتٍ مِّن رَحْمَتِهِ. For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has those breezes of His mercy. يُصِيبُ بِهَا مَن يَشَاءُ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ. By which He touches whomever He pleases of His servants. So expose yourselves. You just expose yourself. You stand where you should be standing, so that when the breeze blows by of His mercy, it touches you. That's what you do. That's what the hadith is talking about. So that has to be understood within the context of, so what is the nafahat about? There are certain seasons. These seasons are, you know, certain times, certain places, and certain conditions. These are all called mawasim. Mawasim could be a time mawasim, or like a location, or a condition. So your mawasim, for instance, isn't Ramadan a mawasim for us? Isn't Ashura a mawasim of sorts for us? Arafah, you know, Al-Eid, Al-Akbar. These are mawasim for us, right? These are seasons. This is where you should be trying to expose yourself to the nafahat of Allah's rahmah, to the breeze of His mercy. You just you stand where you should be standing, so that, you know, when the breeze blows by, you get touched by it. Likewise, these are different times. There are certain locations. Like if you go to Mecca, for instance, and instead of, you know, wasting time, you know, standing in line for the open buffet, which a lot of people do, you just expose yourself. Man, this is your time. You're here for a few days. So expose yourself to the breeze of His mercy. Stand where you should be standing to get touched by the breeze of His mercy. You know, it is all over the place in Mecca, but, you know, next to the open buffet, you probably would be better off, you know, at the haram or something. So location, and then conditions. If you're traveling, if you're sick, didn't the Prophet ﷺ tell us about, you know, the dua being answerable in certain conditions? What, you know, sickness is one of them, travel is one of them. So you get yourself more engaged in dua and in zikr and so on in these conditions. So we're talking about places, we're talking about times, and we're talking about conditions, and expose yourself to the breeze of His mercy. If it blows by and you're standing in the right spot, you'll be touched by it. افعلوا الخير دهركم وتعرضوا لنفحات رحمة الله فإن لله نفحات من رحمته يصيب بها ما يشاء من عباده. That's all you can do to be wanted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for purification and elevation, and to be sought by Him, to be a murad and not just a murid. Okay, now it's the fiqh of zakah. And we will have to cover two chapters today. And next time we will have the chapter on giving the paying the zakat, which is the chapter of ikhraj al-zakah. And the following week, inshallah, we will have two chapters, the chapter of those that are deserving recipients of zakat and the chapter of those who are not qualified to receive the zakat. Those that you could give the zakat to and those that you cannot give the zakat to. So within 3 weeks, inshallah, we should be done with the book of zakat. The Shaykh, rahimahullah, Imam ibn Qudamah, rahimahullah, in his book Al-Umda, said, وَلَا زَكَاةَ فِيهَا حَتَّى يَنْوِيَ بِهَا التِّجَارَةِ وَهِيَ نِصَابٌ حَوْلًا كَامِلًا ثُمَّ يُقَوِّمُهَا فَإِذَا بَلَغَتْ أَقَلَّ نِصَابٍ مِنَ الذَّهَبِ أَوْ الْفِضَّةِ أَخْرَجَ الزَّكَاةَ مِنْ قِيمَتِهَا. We're talking now about the chapter of the zakat of merchandise, the chapter of zakat of trade goods or merchandise. He said there is no zakat on merchandise until the person intends to trade with it. And it has been at the nisab for an entire year. Then he should assess it. And if it has reached an amount equal to whichever nisab of gold or silver is less at that time, he must pay zakat on its full value. So he's saying, the ruling of zakat of merchandise, the vast majority of Muslim scholars said that the zakat of merchandise is obligatory. And that is the position of the four imams, that's the position of the four schools. Other positions are considered extremely minor position. But the established position in Islamic fiqh, which is the agreement of the four mazahib and the vast majority of scholars, is that the zakat is binding in merchandise, trade goods. The Sheikh said, حَتَّى يَنْوِيَ بِهَا التِّجَارَةِ, there is no zakat on merchandise until the person intends to trade with it. And we will come back to address this. When does his na'iyya, make the trade goods zakatable? But first, he says, حَتَّى يَنْوِيَ بِهَا التِّجَارَةِ وَهِيَ نِصَابٌ, and it has been at the nisab for an entire year. So you, from the time you had intended that this is for tijara, for trade, for sale, then it should last 1 year with you at the nisab. And we did say that Imam Abu Hanifa does not consider the dips below the nisab during the year. He considers the beginning and the end. Imam Ahmad and the major and Imam Shafi'i, they consider that you should have the nisab throughout the year. You need to stay above that threshold, that nisab. So once you dip, once your urud al-tijara, your merchandise, had dipped below $3,000, sort of the magical number that we're using for nisab, which is equal to the nisab of 85 grams of gold, it's a little bit more than 3,000, but you'll have to figure it out every time. You'll have to figure out how much 85 grams of 24 karat gold is on the day of your zakat, on your zakat due date. But we're using 3,000. So if you dip below the 3,000, if your trade goods are less than 3,000 at any time during the year, Imam Shafi'i and Imam Ahmad will tell you, you don't have to pay zakat. Imam Abu Hanifa will tell you, if you will have the 3,000 at the end, we will get a shorter partition that's a little bit more tactful, because this is, you know, bulky, unsafe, and a little bit too much, like too big, and just... Hopefully Brother Waqar is hearing me. No, he's not. He left. But we'll just use this partition for today. So just like we said in currency, just like we said in cash, same applies to trade goods. For Imam Shafi'i and Imam Ahmad, you need to have more than the threshold for the entire year so that it would be zakatable at the end of the year. And then he said, وَهِيَ نَصَابْ حَوْلًا كَامِلًا, stays at the Nisab for an entire year. ثُمَّ يُقَوِّمُهَا. And then you'll come at the end of the year and you basically figure out the value. You will inventory your store and you'll figure out the value, assess the value of it. And if it is at the Nisab, then he says, whichever Nisab of gold or silver is less at that time, he must pay zakat on its full value. So if your trade goods are, let's say, $4,500, you have $4,500 worth of trade goods, merchandise for sale, things that you plan to sell, and you have been above the $3,000 for the entire year, you need to pay the zakat on the $4,500, not the $1,500 that is above the nisab, the full amount, the $4,500. But he says, whichever nisab. So in the Hanbali Mazhab, if it is either the gold or silver. So we said before that the nisab of silver was $600, right? So in the sort of the authentic Hanbali Mazhab, if your trade goods are $600, then you will need to pay zakat. If the value of your trade goods is $600, you will need to pay zakat on those trade goods. Why am I saying $3,000? Because I told you contemporary scholars, particularly in the Majama al-Fiqhiyya and so on, they basically, because of the fluctuation of the prices of silver, the extreme fluctuations of the prices of silver, they said, just go buy gold and forget about the silver, because gold is the gold standard. Do you remember we saying this? Okay, so we will use the gold. And if it is more than 3,000 for the entire year, then you will pay on the full amount at the end of the year. What is it that you will pay? What is it that you will pay? 2.5%, just like cash. But what are you going to pay out? What are you going to give out? Cash, not merchandise, cash. This is the only time where you give out something other than the zakatable property. This is the only time where you will give out something other than the zakatable property, because the nisab of it is determined on the basis of gold and silver, is determined on the basis of currency. Therefore, you will give out currency. And because poor people will not, like whatever it is that you that your trade goods are, you know, they may not have any use for whatever your trade goods are. So someone like who trades in nails, for instance, and he gives like, you know, 200 nails. So it is given out in cash. It is given out in cash. Here, can you give the zakat out in merchandise if the merchandise will be better for the poor? Huh? Okay. So that is part of a larger question, which is given the zakat out in value, not in kind. In value, you know, the value of the zakat. Who said you cannot give the zakat out in value and you'll have to give out whatever has been prophetically designated? Like if my zakat is one sheep, for instance. If I have five camels and my zakat is one sheep. Five camels, my zakat is one sheep. Can I give out, instead of the one sheep, $300? Because one sheep equals $300. Can I give out $300? You said yes? Okay. No, you know how it is in fiqh. If you say yes or no, you'll be fine. So you could answer with confidence. No, but there are there are 5 daily prayers, right? You have no. So one sheep, $300. What if your zakat is $300? Your zakat, you have currency, and your zakat is $300. Can you give dates instead? Can you give dates? Or whatever, you can give whatever else, you know, something. And instead, yeah, like food, like clothes, like whatever it is that the poor could use. And instead of, can you give vouchers? Can you basically pay their utility bills? So you said yes. You're in agreement here. Okay, that's the Hanafi position. The Hanafi position is yes. That's Imam Abu Hanifa. He said yes. Who said no? The rest. No would be the Malikis, Shafi'is, and Hanbalis. They said, no, you cannot. So Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah said, by default, you cannot. You know, so he chose the position of the majority, except if there is greater benefit or there is a need. Al-haja or maslaha al-rajiha. Except for maslaha al-rajiha, which is the greater benefit, and haja, which is the need. And he attributed this to one report from an Imam Ahmad. So there are two reports from an Imam Ahmad, where he said in some conditions, Imam Ahmad allowed the giving of value, and instead of the in-kind, the sort of the designated zakat that the Prophet ﷺ himself designated, and in some conditions he did not allow it. And Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, he said, if there is greater benefit, we should stick with the prophetic designation. You know, if the Prophet said one sheep, then it should be one sheep. We should stick with the prophetic designation unless there is greater benefit or a need to give the value instead of the prophetically designated zakat. In this case, it would be permissible. And he cited proofs. Each one of them has proofs to cite. The Jumhur cited the, you know, the obvious, that these are the things that the Prophet designated. And sometimes the Prophet ﷺ would designate, for instance, that if you have a camel that is younger than the one that is due on you, then you can, you will have to give that camel out, and then two sheep or 20 dinars or something of that nature. So the Prophet would designate if you fall into a particular bracket and you don't have the thing that will come out. He did not say give out the value, but he said give a camel that is younger, in addition to it give this, or give a camel that is older and take from the zakat collector that. So they said that the Prophet designated things, and he was very specific about his designations, therefore we have to abide by his designations. Imam Abu Hanifa cited various things, including the fact that Mu'adh ibn Jabal said to the people of Yemen, instead of sha'ir, instead of the barley and wheat and stuff, why don't you give me some of the clothes that you guys make? It will be better for you, easier for you. Ahwanu alaykum wa khayru li ashabi Rasulillah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's easier for you and it is better for the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This report in itself is controversial, but anyway, at the end of the day, it will come down to more rational arguments because the reports are not decisive on either side. It will come down to rational arguments. So maybe the position of Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah is a good position, that the default is to give out whatever the Prophet designated, but if you see a greater benefit in giving out the value or a need to give out the value, like for instance people who complain that they don't know if the people will take this money and make a good use of it or not, so instead I'll give them vouchers or I'll pay their rent or I'll give them this or that, then in this case you could take Imam Abu Hanifa's position and give the value instead of the in-kind zakat. Is that clear? And in zakat al-fitr, this would also apply. Like the default is that we're giving out food because the food has been designated by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Farada Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam zakat al-fitr sa'an min tamrin aw sa'an min sha'ir ala al-dhakri wal-untha wal-hurri wal-'abd wa al-saghir wal-kabir min al-muslimin. So the Prophet ﷺ designated that it would be sa' of dates or sa' of barley in the hadith of Abu Sa'id. He added to this also zabib and aqit. He added raisins and dried milk cheese, or cheese that is made out of dried milk, and added wheat. So we give food out, particularly also because, you know, it even makes sense in the welfare, even in the welfare system here. Not everything is given out in the form of money. Food stamps are given out. Some people may, you know, take the money and use it for sort of like suboptimal expenditures and do not spend enough money on food for themselves and their families. So when you do give out the zakah, and keep in mind that when you give out food, you're giving out the food staples of whatever locality you live in. And when you give out food staples to the poor in that locality, you could give them an amount that would be sufficient for them for 6 months or so. Give them, you know, a lot of food that they can store. Non-perishable items. Non-perishable food items. And I believe, and this is, you know, because I also believe that the value could be given out, I believe that you could give out canned food and all stuff. It doesn't have to be grains and stuff. So you could give them a lot of stuff to store for 6 months, for 12 months, and at least you would make sure that no one is going hungry, because they can take the money and, you know, and they don't necessarily have to be bad people or anything, but they can certainly make the wrong judgment about the use of the money. Okay, so the default should be to give it out in the designated forms that the Prophet ﷺ talked about, but if there is a greater benefit or there is a need, certainly the position of Imam Abu Hanifa does have merit and strength, and in this case it should be used. So your trade goods, we said that after 1 year of intending to sell these properties, you will come at the end of the year and figure out if you stayed above the nisab, and that's Shafi'i and Hanbali. If you stayed above the nisab, we said Hanafi, they don't care whether you stayed above the nisab or not. If you stayed above the nisab for the entire year, at the end of the year, you evaluate how the merchandise that you have. When you evaluate the merchandise that you have, you evaluate the merchandise and the market value of, you know, of the same day. So today is my zakat due date. What is the market value of the merchandise today? The Shafi'is are the ones who explicitly said bisa'r al-jumla, you know, the wholesale value. The Hanbalis did not explicitly say that. And contemporary Hanbalis say if he's a wholesale trader, then it is based on the wholesale price. If he is a retailer, then it is based on the retail price. But in all honesty, the retail price fluctuates, and it is easier to go by the wholesale price or the price that he will be able to readily sell this, all of this stuff for today on my zakat due date. Because, you know, yes, I may tag this price at like $100, but at the end of the day, if I need to move out tomorrow, I will sell it for 40, or I'll sell it for much less. So the price that is the market value of the price among the merchants, you know, not the price that I will get one day when a customer walks through the door and actually gets to pay this amount. Okay, so one other thing that I wanted to say, when you make that assessment, when you inventory your trade goods and you make that assessment, you inventory your trade goods every lunar calendar year or solar, lunar. What if you have a big company and you don't do it every lunar year, you do it every solar year? What do you do in this case? You need to do it every lunar year. You know, the obligation is to do it every lunar year. But if you're going to be completely stuck and it's not going to work and it's not going to work. If it is not going to work, then how much money do you, what is the percentage? This is the percentage that you need to pay. To correct for giving it every solar year, you pay 2.577% and not 2.5%. And if you pay 2.577%, you're correcting for the 11-day difference between the solar and the lunar years. Is that clear? So people who inventory every solar year, they will pay 2.577%. No, well, people who don't have to, people who, if you're talking about this account, your bank account, why don't you do it every lunar year?
Well,
make it Ramadan first. Choose like a day. What we're talking about, people who have muttarun, people under sort of, you know, big companies, for instance, here in America, and if they do their inventory every lunar year, and then they come back and do another inventory every solar year, they could be spending lots of money on this. It's not easy to inventory your storage. And, but for us, for like regular people that are not big companies, we need to be given the zakat every lunar year. We pick up a day, Rajab 21st, Muharram 22nd, Ramadan 1st, and spread the khair out. You know, not everybody gives the zakat in Ramadan. You know, spread it out so that, you know, there is ongoing income for the poor people. And if you want to give it in installments, give from next year's zakat in installments. If you are the donor, give from next year's zakat. You could advance your zakat for 1 year. So give from next year's zakat and subtract it from next year. You don't give installments from last year's zakat because you have to give that out immediately. You give installments from your next year's zakat. So if you have poor relatives and you're afraid that if you give them the money all at once, they'll misuse it, and you want to give them a monthly salary, give them a monthly salary from next year's zakat and subtract it at the end of the year. Okay. Then the sheikh said, وَإِنْ كَانَ عِنْدَهُ ذَهَبْ أَوْ فِضَّةِ ضَمَّهُمَا إِلَىٰ قِيمَةُ الْعُرُودِ فِي تَكْمِيلِ النِّصَابِ. If he had gold or silver, it looks like we're not gonna finish the. Anyway, we'll see. وَإِنْ كَانَ عِنْدَهُ ذَهَبْ أَوْ فِضَّةِ ضَمَّهُمَا إِلَىٰ قِيمَةِ الْعُرُودِ فِي تَكْمِيلِ النِّصَابِ. If the person owns gold or silver, he must add it to the value of his merchandise to complete the nisab. He must add it to his merchandise to complete the nisab. Meaning, you combine the gold, silver, cash, and trade goods, all of them. He's not mentioning cash here because the gold and silver used to be their currency. We're adding cash here. So you're combining gold, silver, cash, and trade goods. If the total is equal to or more than the nisab, the zakat threshold, the zakatable minimum, you need to pay zakat. Certainly the gold that is used for halayi, for, you know, gold used for women, or you know, the halal silver that is used by men. We did talk about this in detail last time, and we talked about the position of Imam Abu Hanifa and the position of the three other imams with regard to the zakatability of that gold. Zakatability of that gold. Everybody remembers, right? Good. Alhamdulillah. So here in the Hanbali Mazhab, they would not count that gold towards your nisab because it's not a zakatable gold. You know, so the jewelry that the women have, it would not go into this, you know, equation here. Then the sheikh said, وَإِذَا نَوَى بِعَرْضِ التِّجَارَةِ الْقُنِيَةِ فَلَا زَكَاةَ فِيهِ ثُمَّ إِنْ نَوَى بِهِ بَعْدَ ذَلِكَ التِّجَارَةِ اسْتَأْنَفَ لَهُ حَوْلًا. If a person intends for this merchandise to be private property for personal use, there is no zakat on it. If afterwards he intends to prepare it again for trade, he should begin counting a new hawl for it. And that position is the sort of unauthorized position in the madhab. I'll tell you the stronger position in the madhab now. But he's saying that, what is Imam al-Qudama saying here? He's saying that if you intend, if you have trade goods, but you intend that I'll use this for home. You know, you had a car, and this car was, you know, you're a car dealer, and you had one of the cars. This car, you intended that I'll give this to my son or give this to somebody. I'll use it. This car will not be zakatable anymore. From that moment that you had intended that it is not, you know, for sale anymore, that it is for qunya, for personal use. Okay, so what if you have it, you have this car, and you intended that it would be for personal use, and then you had it for some time, and then you said, well, you know what, I'm just going to sell it. So it became, once again, it became what? A merchandise for sale, trade goods. The Sheikh is saying, the niyya is the niyya, would be an efficient cause to change the status of this car both ways. It's by, you know, both ways. It's a two-way street. You make the niyyah that this is for personal use now, it becomes personal use, you don't have to pay zakat. You change the niyyah and you make a niyyah that this is now for sale, then the niyyah will be sufficient to change the status. Your niyyah will be sufficient to change the status of that property item to be in trade, like merchandise for sale, and to be zakatable. Is that clear? And it is simple and straightforward. That's why we usually use it in fatwa quite often, because it's simple and straightforward. It's vice versa. It's both ways. You change your niyya, you change the niyya. However, keep in mind, this is not the authorized position in the madhab. It's not even the authorized position in any madhab. Yeah. Because the authorized position in the four madhab is that the niyya is not sufficient to change it back to being trade goods. So once it is, if it is, so, okay. So let me tell you this. So in the four madhab, they have these, they have two conditions for the thing to be zakatable. For the trade goods to be zakatable, they have two conditions. They have sababul milk, and they have an niyyah. So they have the cause of acquisition, and they have the niyyah, the intention. So in order for something to be zakatable trade goods in the form of zahib, you have to have acquired it by your own action. If you inherited it, it's not zakatable. Even if you intend at the time of inheritance that it will be for sale, it's still not zakatable. Because inheritance is a passive acquisition, not an active acquisition. Active acquisition is when you purchase something, and when you take something in exchange for something else, so, or in exchange of a usufruct, not necessarily something else, another property, but a usufruct. So, you know, you work for somebody and they give you, like, they'll tell you, if you finish this wall, if you build it for me, or you paint this wall for me, I will give you my bicycle. And you intend that at the time of the acquisition that this bicycle will be for sale. This bicycle is zakatable by agreement. By agreement. And then they disagree whether if when you acquire it through gift or a wasiya, they consider, the Hanbalis consider this to be still active acquisition because you accepted the gift or the wasiya. And this acceptance is an active sort of a form of active acquisition on your part. So if it is inheritance, if it passes to you through inheritance, that is when they all agree that it is not, does not become zakatable, except that position in the Hanbali madhab that does not really. But when it comes to the authorized position in the four madhab, whatever passes to you through inheritance, that is passive acquisition, right? Passive acquisition makes it not zakatable, even if you intend at the time of acquisition that it is for sale. When is it zakatable? When you collect the money, when you sell it, and collect the money. Some of them said you will pay zakat for 1 year at the time of collection, and some of them said you will take this money and keep it for 1 year before that money becomes zakatable. And in this case, it's not trade goods. It's not zakat of trade goods. It's zakat of currency. Zakat of currency, not zakat of trade goods. So the niyyah here, the intention here, has the intention here. In order for something to be zakatable, it has to meet two conditions. You acquired it actively, active acquisition, accompanied by the intention of trading. Is that clear? Active acquisition accompanied by the intention of trading. If that's the case, it's zakatable according to all of them. That's clear? Now, the position that Imam Ibn Qudama mentions here is another report in the Hanbali Mazhab that makes the niyyah, and this is also the position of Ishaq and the position of Abu Thawr and the position of Karabisi, Shafi'i, and the position of other scholars who made the niyyah consequential both ways. So you change the niyyah to trade goods, it becomes trade goods. You change the niyyah to personal use, it becomes for personal use. That's clear? You want to ask questions about this? Really, is it clear for everybody? Yes. Yes. No, if you inherit currency, it's zakatable. We're talking about the trade goods only, merchandise only. If you inherited currency, it is zakatable for sure. From the time of acquisition, it becomes zakatable from the time of acquisition. And then you count 1 year from the time of acquisition. And then you pay the zakat on this money. But if you inherited trade goods, That is where the discussion is. We're talking only about trade goods now. If you inherited trade goods, in trade goods that become zakatable, why is this? How do they justify this? They tell you that trade goods are by default not zakatable, because the things that are zakatable in and of themselves are what? Are currency, livestock, things that come out of the earth, which is treasure troves, mined metals, and crops. Those are zakatable by prophetic designation in and of themselves, because this is mal nami or fihi quwwatun nama, because it is money that grows by itself. Crops grow, livestock, stuff, even things that come out of the earth, is money that was not there and just came out, you know. Or has the power, the potency, the potential to grow, which is currency, gold and silver. So if it does not grow, it is your fault that you did not invest it. But they say trade goods become only zakatable when they become nami, when they become trade goods. So the mere intention does not have the power to change them from non-zakatable to zakatable. Because you could intend and may never be sold, or something like that. So they say the mere intention does not have the power to change the status of trade goods from the original default status of being non-zakatable. Because what are we talking about here? We're talking about a car. Talking about, you know, whatever, clothes. These things are not zakatable in and of themselves. They become zakatable when they are trade goods. So if you acquired them in exchange of other merchandise, they are, with the intention of selling, they are zakatable for sure. If you acquired them in exchange of some usufruct or some service or this or that, they are zakatable at the time of acquisition if you had the intention to sell them. But otherwise, the mere intention of wanting to sell this one day does not have the power to change their status. And that's certainly... So the position that is mentioned here by Imam al-Qudama is the minority position, not the majority position. Keep in mind that the first half of his statement is the majority position for sure. The fact that the niyya will change the status from zakatable trade goods to non-zakatable items of personal use, that is by agreement. The niyya will change that. It is the other way around. The niyya will not have the power to change it from non-zakatable items of personal use to zakatable merchandise. I don't know what to do now, so I have 6 minutes. I don't think we can finish Zakat al-Fitr in 6 minutes, so we will have to defer this. We'll have to defer Zakat al-Fitr. Yes. Yes. Except, yeah, certainly Zakat al-Hulay, if the trade goods, if you intend to trade jewelry, because they have, why did they make an exception of jewelry? If you intend to trade jewelry, they become zakatable right away. Because jewelry was the original default for gold and silver is that they're zakatable or not. They are zakatable. The original default is that they are zakatable. Why have they become non-zakatable according to the Maliki, Shafi'is, and Hanbalis if they are used? Because they are now being used for personal use. But their original default is gold and silver. So the niyya, the mere intention, will be sufficient to change their status back to the original default, which is that they are zakatable. Yes. You can have the Islamic calendar. Yeah, you could add the Islamic calendar to your Google calendar. You guys know that. Google has the Islamic calendar. Even the iPhone calendar? How do you do that? What? You go to the App Store? The calendar settings. Well, this is beneficial knowledge, Allah. Okay, so you go to your calendar settings in the iPhone and alternate calendars in the iPhone. But you go to settings. And then where, after settings, you go to calendar. And then you go to alternate calendars. Oh, and you have Islamic. And then you will have both the regular and the Islamic. Okay, jazakumullah khairan. That's actually great. We're done. Qul qawli hadha astaghfirullah wa atubu ilayk.